Praise God. So good to be with you in the house today and to open the Word of God together. I think on the other side, we'll wax nostalgic sometimes about how we gathered together and we sang the praises when we magnified God. People get together, they talk about the good times and all of the negative things that have transpired and all the hurts and all of the woes. They seem like small things after you've passed through. And we're going to pass through to the other side. Praise God. And we'll talk about these days. We'll talk about the goodness of God, and then we'll shout around the throne again and magnify Him. We're going to move into Ecclesiastes this morning. We've been in Proverbs for a good while, and I still have quite a number of lessons prepared for the Proverbs, but I felt a nudge in the Holy Ghost about moving on. We're making our way through the Old Testament, and we really don't care. Just if God wants to come before we're finished, that's great. And if He doesn't, we'll just start all over again. Excellent for us to handle the Word of God this morning. And everything the world says is a lie, but the Word of God is true. And we stand upon that today. Does anybody feel the strength of that? And you're glad to have the Word of God as your foundation today. I'm going to read to you out of the NIV this morning. Usually use the King James, but there's a particular reason. Brother Randy, can you do that this morning? Can you? It doesn't matter. But if you had that option, I was going to give you a heads up on that. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and we'll begin with verse 1. The words of the teacher, or the preacher, if you're reading a King James, and that's what Ecclesiastes means. It means the teacher or the preacher. The words of the teacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, or vanity, vanity, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. But everything, he says, is vanity. What does man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises, the sun sets, and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south, turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. And all things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again, and what has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already long ago. It was here before our time. There is no remembrance of men of old, and even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. The teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I devoted myself to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under heaven. What a heavy burden God has laid on men. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. If you're reading a King James, it says, all is vanity, a vexation to the soul, or a vexation to the spirit. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's give God thanks and praise for His word today that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise You. We magnify You, Lord God. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for the privilege to handle it and to know You by it. We praise You, God, that You've changed our lives and changed our destinies by the power of Your word. And everyone say amen. Praise God. The writer here is Solomon. Some contest it, but it seems so very self-evident. The writer is Solomon. He is the son of David by Bathsheba. He has come to power under the pinnacle or at the pinnacle of Israel's power. And before he's done, Israel reigns from Babylon to Egypt, from north of Damascus all the way down into the southern reaches. And it is an expansive kingdom, wealthy beyond measure, with power. There is commerce. He's trading and selling horses and chariots. And the adage was that silver was like stones in the street in the days of Solomon. When Solomon was just a young man and the power of the kingdom was coming to him, the chronicles tell us that he prayed a prayer unto God. And he said, God, this thy great people that you've given me to govern. He said, I'm not asking for anything but wisdom. I want you to give me wisdom and understanding and a heart that is able to come in and go out before you and to govern this thy great people. And when God heard his prayer, God said, because you haven't asked for riches and you haven't asked for wealth or fame, I'm going to give you the wisdom, but I'm going to give you all of those other things that come with it and that you never ask for. And so Solomon is catapulted into the pinnacle of the historical narrative of Israel. And he will be the greatest king at the greatest moment and their greatest reach and their greatest power. And he is also the beginning of their decline into depravity and to things that are so not like God. Praise God. And as we're reading here in the Ecclesiastes, then becomes a source of speculation and confusion and debate. And it's difficult because you have a great allegiance to the Word of God and because you seek the Word of God for guidance. But as you open up the book of Ecclesiastes, you hear the voice of a cynic. You hear the voice of a skeptic. Who will tell us before it's done, I've seen it all, I've done it all, I've had it all, and none of it is of value. All of it is vanity, and it is a vexation to the spirit. And in the NIV, he said, it is meaningless, it is meaningless. Life is meaningless. I can't find the purpose in it. I can't get a handle on the direction. I've done all these mighty works, but it seems so meaningless to me. It is a chasing after the wind. The King James says a vexation of the spirit, but he says a chasing after the wind. Chapter 1 and around verse 17 or 16. 1 and 16. I thought to myself, look, I have grown and increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned that this too is a chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. The cynic said, the more I understand, the deeper the depression grows. The more knowledge I have, the harder the kernel of my cynicism. Because I see through all the facades and the thin veneer of civilization. And every time I drink from the cup, you got to understand, a lot of people are occupied by their ascension up the ladder of success or by their ascension up the mountain face of conquering the next enemy, and they have a goal to occupy their mind and their heart, and in the back of their mind they're thinking, when I reach that, when I build that, or when I achieve that, or when I make that sum, or when I marry that person, or always that goal is going to be the thing that makes my life complete. But Solomon's at the top of the pile and he's waving back down at the rest of us, and he's saying, it's not here. You're giving your life, you're pouring out your heart, you're seeking it, you're attaching your heart's dreams and goals to these things, but they're not up here. He said it's meaningless, it's a chasing after the wind. He said, I sought wisdom and it wasn't there. Chapter 2 and verse 1, I thought in my heart, come now, I'll test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is foolish. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine, embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. And I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under the heaven during their few days of their lives. He said, I went out to the bar rooms to seek it, but it wasn't there. I got with my friends and we all laughed and tried to cover up our misery with our laughter and find some humor in this worldly journey, but I couldn't find it there. He said, all the while that wisdom was working and everything was vanity and meaningless, I was just chasing after the wind. I want to tell you today, you can't drink it and make it happen. You can't shoot it or snort it or smoke it and make it happen. You can't stockpile enough stuff to make it happen. Verse 4, he said, I undertook great projects. Men define themselves by work. I undertook great projects. I built the houses for myself and planted vineyards and made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. And I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. And I brought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born. I had power over the lives of men. I had royalty and power over the lives of the citizens of Jerusalem. And from Babylon all the way to Egypt, they trembled. They bowed at my name. They looked at the signature of my scroll on messages that I would send to them. He said, I owned men and women. I owned slaves and the children of slaves. I owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women, singers, and a harem as well. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. He had a new woman every night that he wanted one. I'm just talking to somebody that's thinking, well, if I had a new husband, maybe my life would be worthwhile. Or if I could get a different wife, maybe my life would be worthwhile. But Solomon's standing at the end of that road and he's saying, it's not here, it's not here. But as he plied that and as he began to experiment, you see what he's doing. He's taking everything that the world has sought out for value and he's exploring it to its nth degree. And when he gets to the end of it, he sees through it. It's a sack with a hole in it. There's nothing there at all. Vanity, meaningless, a chasing of the wind. And by all of his wives and concubines, he brought in every false god in the region. And for his wives to please them, he built temples to all of those false gods. And he began a movement of polytheism and paganism in Israel that would plague them all the way down to the time of the first diaspora when they were crushed under the heel of the judgment of God. They would never break free from the schisms that he began to perpetrate there. And revolution was the result of it. And Israel slaughtering Israel and wars between the tribes and the children of Abraham that never should have been. But Abraham found all of those difficulties growing up out of his pursuit of fulfillment in natural things. I know you're pursuing natural things. You're a natural creature. You're defined by natural circumstances and paradigms. But can I suggest something to you here today? You haven't found satisfaction in those natural things. The poet said there's nothing gold that lasts. You've got to understand it today that all of the gravestones and the headstones and all of the graveyards in this cities and cities like it around the world are shouting at you. We're all heading for the same end. Those natural things don't go with you when you go. They won't support you down at a time of trouble. They won't walk with you through a valley of depression. They won't lift your spirit. They won't save your children. Not the things that the world values. I acquired men and women, singers, a harem, the delights of the heart of man. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. You think if I could just acquire that I desire. I'm telling you, the river runs into the sea and the sea is not full. There is no end to the appetite of the flesh and the carnal man and the carnal mind. If you get what you're looking for next, that'll just be a pinnacle for which you can see the next thing in line, and you'll be seeking it the rest of your life. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless and a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Somebody say praise the Lord. Anybody that knows these things already to be true, you shout and praise him a little bit. Well, praise God. He had the works, he had the money, he had the fellowship, he had the carnal pleasures. None of those things gave him satisfaction. Praise God. Chapter 2, verse 12. Then I turned my thoughts to consider wisdom and madness and folly. I wanted to look at the entire continuum of human thought and intellect. What more can the king's successor do than what has already been done? I saw that wisdom is better than folly, like light is better than darkness. The wise man has eyes in his head while the fool walks in the darkness, but I came to realize that the same fate overtakes them both. Then I thought in my heart, the fate of the fool will overtake me also. What then do I gain by being wise? I said in my heart, this too is meaningless. For the wise man, like the fool, will not be long remembered. In days to come, both will be forgotten. Like the fool, the wise man too must die. I've looked on the sepulcher of Napoleon. I've looked down at Galileo and Dante and the philosophers. And you know, it's interesting because wise men and wealthy men and powerful men try to build something within which to house their mortal remains. The pyramids, these great cathedrals, they're there for a lot of purposes, but one of them is to be a place of burial for their notables so that they might last 1,000 years or 2,000 years. But the pauper that was buried in the unmarked grave, there's not a dime's worth of difference. Nobody walks by his unmarked grave and goes, ooh. But Solomon says they're all in the same place. Nothing you can achieve here. Oh, it's so sad, too, for people to fracture relationships over natural things. So devastatingly pitiful for people to separate friendship or separate families over natural things. Jealousy is as cruel as the grave. It separates everybody, and it has no end. Praise God. So I hated life, verse 17. This is the wisest, richest, most powerful man in the world. And he said, I hated life. Now, I'm not trying to encourage you to go out and blow your brains out today. You thought you were doing pretty good. And here the guy is that has everything that you ever wanted. And he's saying, it's not here. It doesn't mean anything. There's no value in this. Verse 17, so he says, so I hated life because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. And what he's saying is, I can't understand what God is doing. I can't find the purpose of God in these natural things. Job is like that. Job has suffering that he can't find the answer for. But Job has a better attitude about it. Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But Solomon can't find the purpose of God. And he's scaling every rock-faced idea and moving through every human experience. He can't find it. I hated life. All of it is meaningless. A chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I toil for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me, and who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool. I'm working myself to death. I'm striving. I'm building. And you know, those four things that everybody seeks for: to live, to learn, to love, and to leave a legacy. Sometimes you can justify and find validation and affirmation in the fact, well, I'm going to leave something for my kids. But what if the kid turns out to be a fool? And that's what came crashing in on Solomon. He said, I'm building this temple that the whole world will ooh and ah over. And you know, the very thing that he feared is the very thing that happened. His son Rehoboam was an absolute fool. Brought revolution and rebellion to Israel, destroyed the kingdom, and set in motion the events that would bring about the destruction of everything that Solomon, all of Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. He said, I hate my work now. I'm working on things, but I don't know. And that's exactly what Jesus said. Jesus said, you're working real hard for all this stuff, but after you're gone, whose stuff will this be? Old and New Testament, the resonating, repetitive theme. You're seeking to find spiritual affirmation in natural stuff, and you can't find it there. And neither could Solomon. Praise God. Praise God. Chapter 2 again. And after a tirade about meaningless things, verse 24. A man can do nothing better. He said, now this is my analysis. A man can do nothing better but just eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. Just be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Because you're going to die. And that's all. To the Solomon's answer to, is this all there is? You know that deep, abiding, common philosophical question? Is this all there is? When you turn a certain age and you realize that you've about finished the course, and you start looking around and saying, is this it? No marching bands? This is it? And Solomon's answer is, yeah, this is all there is. Eat, drink, and be merry. And Shakespeare liked it so well, he stole it, plagiarized it. He said, for tomorrow, you die. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Chapter 3, verse 22, he said, enjoy your work, for that's all that there is. Chapter 4 and verse 4, I saw that all labor and all achievement spring from man's envy of his neighbor, and this is meaningless. It is a chasing after the wind. Chapter 7 and verse 15, in this meaningless life of mine, I have seen both of these, a righteous man perishing in his righteousness and a wicked man living long in his wickedness. He said, I saw the good die young, and I've saw the wicked go on and enjoy all that life has to offer. Who in the world is running this show? He said, I can't find the purpose of God. I'm frustrated with it. I'm developing a cynical heart and a cynical attitude. Chapter 8 and verses 16 and 17, he just says, God's ways can't be found and they can't be known. And it frustrates me. Down to the end of the matter, he says in chapter 12. The conclusion of the matter. Verse 13, now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. But he's not saying that with a lot of inspiration. He's saying that from a cynic's heart. Here's the job. Just do the job. I can't figure it out. He doesn't take any pleasure in it. This is not an apostolic Sunday night. He's just telling you, this is the best you're going to do. It's not going to get any better. Fear God, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. God will bring everything into judgment. This is a depressing book. And I've tried to avoid it for a long time. It's the voice of a skeptic, the voice of a cynic. They are bulletproof for faith. Try to encourage a cynic. It's going to be a great day. This is all there is. Every day is like every other day. And life is like all of life. And you and I are going to die. So, Brother George, I've seen you on the highway. And everywhere I see you, you're smiling. I want you to stop. You understand? I've been blessed with wisdom, and I understand. See, you just don't have much going on up there. That's why you're always smiling. But if you could understand like I understand, you're working hard. You just got involved with a brand new family. You're working hard to make it happen. It ain't gonna happen. And if what you think and are working toward does actually happen, that's not the happening that you were hoping for. When you get there, when you arrive, it'll be the wrong destination. He's still smiling. See, it's good sometimes to be childlike and not to understand the gravity of life. I can't even insult this guy. He's still smiling. On the way to marriage retreat and home, I went up 59, and I sometimes go down 79 to go over there, but I just noticed the number of little white crosses on the side of the interstate. That's something you used to see down in Mexico a lot, but you never saw that in the States, but it's kind of caught on here. This is the tree that he died on. Now, you don't even know how to respond to that. Because it's like, oh, yeah, that's tragic. But some of you are like, is this all there is? I mean, the tree's sitting there with a little skint mark on it. The tree's doing fine. But your loved one is dead and gone. And so to seek purpose and meaning and some sort of a statement, you go drive a little nail in a tree. This is the spot to memorialize them. That's what graveyards are for. But even with all the formality and the granite, they still do a pitiful job of saying that you were here and who you were. All you get is a little dash between two numbers. Like, that's it. And that's much too large. In real life, it's about like that. Brother Scales, this is you. An inch and a half of indention in a granite face. That's your whole life. Solomon said it's meaningless. Forget about it. It doesn't mean anything. It's a chasing after the wind. Well, so let's all go eat lunch. It won't mean anything either. And we'll come back to church tonight in our meaningless life. And have victory in a meaningless way. See what I mean? Some of these folks, you can't get to them. They're impervious to depression. Praise God. And so Solomon's talking to us, and he's saying, in all of your pursuing and building and grasping and seeking satisfaction, you're not going to find it. So just forget it. A new husband won't change your situation. A new wife won't change your situation. A new job, a new home, a new location. Men and women run to high ground, but Solomon says, I've been there. It's not going to help anything at all. Now, the irony here, and the reason I wanted to use the NIV is because it speaks a little more clearly to us in the English than does the King James. But if you wanted to do your own word search in your Strong's, your handy-dandy Strong's would tell you that the primary root for this word wind here, when he says it's just a chasing after the wind, or it's just vanity and it's meanless and meaningless, and it's like you're just a child running, trying to catch the wind or get a hold of the wind. And he's trying to use that to tell you how fruitless and how pointless all of your activity is. But the irony of that is that perhaps on some sort of a subliminal level, Solomon has stumbled into something, because the primary root for that word that he chose, for that word that is wind in the Hebrew, and then it'll do the same thing in the Greek when we study the New Testament characters, that word for wind is the same word for spirit and for breath. And it is the same in the New Testament. In the New Testament, it's pneuma, wind and spirit and breath, the same word. And so he might as well have said, it's meaningless. It's a chasing after the spirit. And what has he done? He's done a clinic on pursuing the purpose of God through natural things. He's done a clinic on trying to see God through natural things, find God through the acquisition of natural things. But at the end of the day, he said, it's impossible. You can't do it. You're just chasing after the spirit. But if he could back off and become a little more childlike for just a moment and consider the very word that he's using, the idea of chasing after the spirit is not a bad idea at all. Because I've got to tell you today, that if you would spend your time chasing after the spirit instead of chasing after the natural, you will be impervious to cynicism. And the most outrageous thing in your life will be your faith and a positive attitude about everything you lay your hands on. Why? Because I'm chasing after the wind. I'm chasing after the spirit. Why do you act like that on a Sunday morning? I'm chasing after the spirit. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, I know you don't get it. To you, it's meaningless. To you, it's fruitless. It's a chasing after the wind. But I'm chasing after the Spirit of God, because I know that Spirit is primary. That in the beginning, God. And God is a Spirit. And everything came forth from God. So everything in the natural is secondary, at least, to things in the Spirit. So if you want to find the purpose, you first have to go to the Spirit. And if you want to find the reason and the rhyme, you first have to go to the Spirit. And you can achieve all the days of your life in the natural, but you won't ever satisfy your soul, because you by essence are a spiritual personality, and you got to find your answers in the Spirit. Solomon said, I tried to find them in a bottle. You won't find them in a bottle. I tried to find them in a woman. You won't find it in a woman. I tried to find it in a house. You won't find it in a house. Marching armies and conquering nations, and he never could find it. But if he'd have bowed his knee, he's the polar opposite of his daddy. He's the polar opposite of his daddy. He's seeking for the natural things, and he's frustrated in his spirit. What you're hearing, cynicism, is the state of a spirit without purpose, that can't find the purpose. That hardness of heart, that depression that is a stone on his heart, it's something born in his spirit. It's a lacking in his spirit. But his father David never did seek after the natural things. But first, he said, this one thing, this is one thing I want. David said, there's just one thing I want. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. I want to behold his beauty. I want to stand in his presence. David is out as a little boy in the sheepfold, and he's already beginning to write songs to God. He's writing, this is the day the Lord has made. I don't know if he was writing classical or blues or bluegrass. I don't know if it was, this is the day that the Lord has made, or if it was, this is the day that the Lord has made. I don't know what kind of music he was writing, but down there in the midst of that sheepfold, God looked down, and it wasn't that he acquired riches or fortunes or palaces or cities. He acquired the attention of God, and God began to move on him. And when Israel needed a king, God said, Samuel, get your horn of oil. I want you to go down to Jesse's house, and I want you to anoint the new king of Israel. It wasn't somebody that had caught the eye of the public. It wasn't a super achiever. It wasn't a banker. It wasn't a lawyer. And I don't have anything against you if you're a doctor or an Indian chief, but it was a shepherd boy who had found primacy in connecting with the Spirit of God. And when you do that, when you connect with the Spirit of God, the natural things conform to the motive force of spiritual revelation and power in your life. All of Israel, chariots, horsemen, spearmen, bold warriors, armored men, hiding in a cave. And David comes into the camp in shepherd's clothing with a sling and an attitude. And Saul tries to put his armor on him. But he said, this natural stuff, it doesn't work into the equation. I don't need that. I can't use that. And he goes down. And Goliath is an NFL left tackle and bigger. He's 13 feet tall. NBA is out in the desert trying to find some vestige of DNA. We could make a Goliath. He doesn't have to play. All he has to do is stand there. And David's a little bitty guy. You know, the whole thing, and God's word is so plain about this. David's brothers are tall. And Saul is tall, head and shoulders above all of Israel. And Goliath is really tall. And the Bible doesn't say anything about David's tallness. But that's the natural. That's the impression or the force of the natural. How tall you are. But David didn't need to be tall in the natural. He was tall in the spirit, where it counted. You following this? And all of Israel was depressed, but David was glad. Israel was stupefied. They couldn't move against that giant. But David was, there's a cause. Let's take care of this today. He was full of faith and not skepticism. And he ran into the valley of battle and took down the champion of all of Philistia. Praise God. How did he do that? Because he was connected in spirit. Not because he'd been down at Gold's Gym. He's little, but he's really wiry. Not because he had sought it in a natural. There is no natural explanation. And you ruin the word of God when you try to crossbreed natural positions with biblical miraculous events. It's an obscenity for you to do that. Goliath was not plagued by giantism with porous bones in his head. They didn't cross over at the Reed Sea. They crossed over at the Red Sea. They didn't cross in water knee deep. They crossed with a wall of water on the right hand, on the left. Lazarus did get up out of the grave, and Bartimaeus' eyes came wide open all over again. And how did that happen? Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Somebody just shake yourself a little bit. Just shout about it a little bit right now. If you're struggling, let go of the natural and start chasing the Spirit. If you're depressed, let go of the natural and start chasing the Spirit. My God, my God, my God. If it's not working for you, and you're working as hard as you can, and you're doing everything in the natural you can I tell you, the answer that you need is not in the answer of man. It's not a bigger check. It's not a bigger house. It's not public connection or political connections. It's not all the things that the world seeks after, but rather it's a connection with God. You won't find this anywhere else. Solomon does have an answer for you. If you're pursuing all those natural things, meaningless, meaningless, chase after the wind. Fruitless, vain, chase after the Spirit. He doesn't even know what he's saying, but he's preaching to me, and he's preaching really good. But you know why? You know why I understand him today? I understand him because I got the Holy Ghost. I understand it because I don't read natural things anymore like I used to read them. I don't walk the way I used to walk. I don't think the way I used to think. When we walk now, we see a sunrise, we say, God's coming with a brand new day. We see sundown and we think, yeah, it looks like sundown. It looks like Friday night, but the resurrection's on the way. We spiritualize everything. And it makes some of you naturalists mad. Listen, you can't build a church like that. I've had them tell me, you can't build a church in Birmingham. They told me, you can't build a multicultural church in Birmingham. And I was really disappointed because I thought maybe we could, but we're going to have to start doing something else. So I guess we'll have a board meeting afterward, but oh, that's right, we don't have a board. We can't do anything right. We're just the epitome of wrong in the natural. But my God, there's something to be said for a connection in the Spirit. Can you help me? I need help. Bring me a minstrel. The prophet said, this is real depressing around here, bring me a minstrel. Well, get with it. We can't do anything until you get with it. Well, see, the prophet was upset with the king, and he said, I wouldn't even look at you if it weren't for the king of Judah. He had a bad attitude for a prophet, but he needed to pull off a miracle for the king of Judah. So he said, I got to get in the Spirit. You know, you can do more in just a few minutes in the Spirit than you can do a lifetime in the natural. Praise God. Praise God. The irony is, he said, it's like chasing after the wind. But you know, the best thing that ever happened in my life happened in a windstorm. I said, the very best thing that ever happened to me in my life, it happened in a windstorm. You know, Jesus showed himself to 500 that he was alive. He ate fish and bread with them. He let them touch him. He walked. He came through the place when the windows were locked and the doors were locked. He showed them that he was alive. But on the day of Pentecost, there was only 120 there. 380 of them didn't chase after the wind. 380 of them were not there when the windstorm came. The Bible said on the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, they were all together and they were in one mind. My God, there came suddenly from heaven
a sound like a rushing, mighty. It was a wind. They came chasing the wind. Rome didn't know about it. Jerusalem didn't know about it. The Sanhedrin didn't know about it. But there was a little ragtag group of Galileans who didn't have it together in the natural. And the Bible said it filled all the house where they were sitting. Do you know the best thing that ever happened to me? Happened in a windstorm. And in the New Testament, the word for wind, and there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. That word is pneuma, and it means wind and breath and spirit. It's the same. It's the counterpart in the Greek of the Hebrew when the Bible said Jesus, God breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. You know what God was doing on the day of Pentecost? He was breathing into the first 120 of the church age. And they were dead men walking. Didn't have the Holy Ghost. But God went down into that place. And those that had been chasing the wind, they began to get the Holy Ghost herky jerkies. And cloven tongues like as a fire sat on each of them. And they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God. Do you remember when it happened? Do you remember when it happened? They all began to speak in tongues as the degree gave them the power. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, you shall receive power. After that, you build the house. Jesus said you'll receive power. After that, you start the business. You get the degree. You win friends and influence people. He said you'll receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Somebody shout, Holy Ghost. If you don't care what the world thinks about it, but you love the Holy Ghost, shout a little bit right now. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you've been looking in all the wrong places, if you've been looking for fulfillment and satisfaction and true happiness and peace that passes all understanding and joy unspeakable and full of glory, I want you to know you're never going to find it in the natural. You'll become a cynic like Solomon. But I want you today to be like David. Come down the aisle dancing with all of your heart. Come down the aisle leaping and running. That's what David did. I know he sounds like Daffy Duck, but that's what David did. A man after God's own heart. This altar's open. If you'd like, I want you to have the best of everything. I want you to be a success in business. I want you to make a gazillion dollars. I want you to be effective and successful in all you lay your hands to. But you won't ever find the true joy unless you find the Spirit. Somebody come chase the Spirit. Somebody come chase the Spirit this morning. Somebody come chase the wind. Hey. Now I need some help. I need somebody down here talking in tongues right now. I need somebody shouting and dancing right now. You don't chase the wind with your hands in your pocket.
Somebody needs to. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody needs to. Yeah. Well, somebody needs to. Well, the backslider needs to. Yeah. Well, the backslider needs to. Catch on fire, catch on fire, catch on fire, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire. Well, all I really need to.
Do you want the Holy Ghost?
Somebody needs to. Somebody needs to. Somebody catch on fire. 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 Holy Ghost 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 fire. Well, I really need to.
Come on, do the work of the church. Somebody chase after the wind. Somebody chase after the Holy Ghost this morning.
Get joy when I think about
what he's done for me.
Joy when I think about
what he's done for me.
I get joy when I think about
what he's done for me.
Joy when I think about
what he's done for me.
He gives me joy.
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 Joy. Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Joy,
joy, joy.
Joy, joy,
joy.
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 Somebody needs to.
Somebody needs to. Well, the backslider needs to. Well, the backslider needs to. Oh, catch on fire.
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 Holy Ghost fire.
Holy Ghost fire.
Holy Ghost fire.
Holy Ghost fire.
Catch on fire.
Catch on fire.
Catch on fire,
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 catch on fire.
Well, I really need to. Well, I really need to. Well, I really need to. Well, I really need to.
Somebody catch on fire.
Catch on fire. Catch on fire.
Catch on fire.
Catch on fire.
Catch on fire.
Catch on fire.
Catch on fire.
Catch on fire.
Catch on fire.
Catch on fire.
Catch on fire.
Holy Ghost 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 fire.
Catch on 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 fire.
Holy Ghost 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 fire,
Holy Ghost fire,
Holy Ghost fire,
Holy Ghost fire.